Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Despite the Lord's miraculous provision of water in the wilderness, the Israelites doubted his ability to provide bread and meat. God was infuriated by their lack of trust and unbelief. In answer to their complaint, the Lord did give them manna and quail, but while they were gorging themselves, God smote the chosen men among them. Their own lust had done them in. Please open your Bible to Psalm 78, verse 19, and follow along with Pastor Ray Viola as he continues his study of this historical psalm.
I think of Moses, how he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. My Bible tells me that sin is pleasurable, and it is. That's why we have to have on the armor of God. That's why we need to resist the temptations, the fleshly lusts that war against our soul with the Word of God. When the Bible says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or husband or all of these things. I've read the Bible a few times in my life, but I've never read, do not eat thumbtacks. He knows me. Don't go here. Don't ponder that. Don't think about that. When God says don't, he's not a killjoy. The pleasures of God are pure, organic, they're satisfying, and Satan always seeks to replace the pleasures of God with a counterfeit that's going to cost you. Sin is pleasurable. It feels good. But boy, when it's time to pay. And some of us have been there. They spoke against God, verse 19. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Wow. In Exodus, they said, oh, I wish to God that we had died in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots, when we had bread to the full. In Numbers chapter 21, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. Neither. What's this manna? What do you guys do at your church? What do you do? Well, we just eat a lot of manna. That doesn't sound exciting. What do you do? Psalm 78. Now, I'm not mentioning any names, but right in the middle of this whole pandemic, I was on a Zoom call with about 16 pastors. Great guys. Everybody's talking about what they're going to talk about. And everything, something about this crisis or something about the culture or something about this protest or something about that. I said, what are you going to do? Well, we're doing Psalms on Wednesday night and we're doing Mark on Sunday morning. And they said, well, aren't you going to talk about it? I don't have to. You guys are. Faith doesn't come by crisis. Faith doesn't come by talking about the elections. Faith doesn't come by any of that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if I've lost my mind, please pray that it will stay lost. Because Jesus said, feed my sheep. So what do? Oh, they're going to have Psalm 78. Do you have a band? What version do you use? We don't want manna. We want Italian sausage. We want Omaha steaks. We want something with a little bit more substance to it. You know what they're doing here? They're complaining against the provision that God had made for them because they were not content with manna. And when people are not content with manna, that is one reason why you have a lot of people that are church hoppers. Because then they can only sit and listen to someone that they hear enough of them. Well, I'm not getting fed. Did you ever hear that? Every pastor hears it. I'm not getting fed. So they'll go somewhere else for a few years until they tell that pastor, I'm not getting fed. You know where you get fed the most? When you have your Bible and it's according to your clock, your body clock, and you're alone with the Lord and you're just reading the Word and you're worshiping the Lord. That's when you get your... This is just a supplement, and I hope an edifying supplement. And there's a whole generation that is getting bored with the Word of God. They're getting bored with the Word of God. They just don't want to hear it. You know why? I'll tell you why. And I don't think we're going to get done with Psalm 78 tonight. I'll tell you why. Because the Word of God is an offense to this culture. The Word of God is an offense. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But to us who are saved, it's the power of God. You'll get spiritually and sometimes physically hung by your toes by just saying what God says in this all-inclusive culture that we live in. Look at verse 20. He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Now they're saying this with a sarcastic, well, he smote the rock and the waters gushed out. Can he give us bread? That's the attitude here. Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard it and he was wroth. I like the old King James. You know what wroth means? Wroth means ticked off. You don't want God to get wroth with you. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against him. Notice, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. They did not trust him to care for them. They were not content with how God was providing for them. The word wrath is found in verse 31, verse 59, verse 62. Wrath is found in verse 31 and 38 and 49. Anger in verse 50 and 58. And God does get angry. But we're living in a day and age where now God doesn't get angry anymore. He used to get angry. But not now. This is 2020. I'll tell you what. The things that angered God in Scripture are the same things that anger God today, because he changes not. Notice, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them food, meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust and feathered fowls like as the sand of sea. You know, they said, we want quail. We want quail. We want quail. We want quail. And God says, okay. You want it? And what does it say in the scriptures? He sent them quail. I think it says 3 feet deep. It was coming out of their nose, out of their ears, out of their eye sockets. Notice, he let it fall in the midst of their camp, verse 28, round about their habitations, so they did eat and were filled, for God, gave them their own desire. Not God's desire. God told them, you shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils. Because you said, why did you ever deliver us from Egypt? So, verse 30, they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. The people ate so much quail that their own lust ultimately did them in. And that's always the way with lust, beloved. It deceives, it defiles, and it ultimately does you in. We have been delivered by the grace of God from the corruption that is in this world through lust. Matthew Henry said this, quote, God expressed his resentment of their provocation, not in denying what they sinfully lusted after, but in granting it to them. Lust is contented with nothing. Those that indulge their lust will never be estranged from it. And they died. You know why? This is a challenge. Because they insisted, my will be done, not thy will be done. And they buried them in a place called Kibroth Hattaavah, which means graves of lust. And another psalm, it says that God gave them the request, but he sent leanness to their souls. Be careful what you insist on having outside of the will of God. And yet in verse 32, you would think that that would wake them up, right? Wouldn't you think? Now this is the opposite side. They see the turn against God when they see the miracles. Now they see this act of judgment come upon them. And look at verse 32. For all this, they still sin. And believe not for his wondrous works. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity. What's vanity? Something that is worthless, something that is unsubstantial, something that is empty, something that is futile, and their years in trouble. 40 years. Is God patient and long-suffering? My, oh my. When he slew them, notice, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired after God, verse 34, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer, or near kinsman. Nevertheless, it was insincere. It was what they call a fox. You know, you ever hear of foxhole conversions or deathbed conversions? Did you ever visit someone? They're you know, you get called to the hospital. They're about ready to die. So they call for a pastor or something. You go up and sometimes you go and you pray with people. And you go, oh, if God ever delivers me out of this, I'll serve him all the days of my life. Oh, please. And so, you know, he seems sincere. Pray for the guy. Guy heals him. He comes to church 1 week. Comes to church 2 weeks. Don't see him for a week. Hey, how are you? I'm going to use Reuben tonight for my... Reuben, how are you? This is Reuben Blakeman's cell phone. He is not here. Will you please leave a message? I go, Reuben, this is Pastor Ray. I just wanted to see how you're doing. What a wonderful thing God did for you, how he brought you up out of that near-death experience. It was so good to see you. Very easy to flatter God with our mouth and lie to him with their tongues. Now, here's the thing. You may be able to fool yourself. You may be able to fool others. But you don't fool God. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 31, we read, and they come before you as the people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart is after covetousness. Their heart, verse 37, was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Their hearts were not right. And yet, one of the amazing things that we see very often in the scriptures is how easy it was for the people of God to be going through the motions outwardly when their heart was far from God. And that's something that's very easy for you and I to slip into, isn't it? Israel's persistent rebellion and hypocrisy reveals this. We need God to intervene and change our hearts that it would be towards him. And you know, that's the greatest miracle that could ever take place. Greater than the splitting of the Red Sea, greater than water out of the rock, the greatest miracle that could ever take place is when a person is regenerated by the Spirit of God, and God comes in and begins to take that man and that woman's life, and then all of a sudden, whoa. But the enemy is always trying to lure you back to Egypt. Charles Spurgeon says, how many there are who, when they seem to turn to God in times of sickness, are not truly penitent. A deathbed repentance may be true, but oh, what a risk there is when it is false. And then you would say, no, if that was me, verse 37, I would say this. I would say, okay, God, like Jeremiah, I want to pastor another congregation. Get me out of here, okay? I've had it. Look at verse 38. But he being full of compassion. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? But he being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not many a time. Doesn't give us a number. Turned he away his anger and did not stir up all his wrath. God's patience and mercy are continually revealed throughout the Word of God. Over and over, his people rebelled against him, yet God held back his anger. Notice, God will never abandon his children simply because they failed to please him perfectly. However, we must never take God's patience and forgiveness for granted by willfully disobeying and rebelling. If we continually grieve him by our sin, he will eventually judge us. Thank God for God's mercy, that he has not dealt with us according to our sins because of Christ. Why? Verse 39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away, a passing breeze, and comes not again. So don't let anybody tell you about reincarnation. You pass away and you're dead. Don't let them send you, you know, the inbox of this latest hip guru about you have to come back, because if you don't get your life together, you'll come back. You'll eventually get it. God doesn't recycle souls. Who was on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses and who? Right? Moses and Elijah. The Moses and Elijah that died. Don't believe the lie of reincarnation. It's demonic. It's not of the Lord. It's not biblical. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then comes the judgment. Look at verse 40. How often did they provoke him or rebel against him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Look at verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited or vexed the Holy One of Israel. What? A passing breeze, a vapor, I can limit the Holy One of Israel? The Bible says. You know what it is? In Matthew 13, verse 58, we read, and he did not many mighty works there. That doesn't say he didn't do any. He didn't do many because of their unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief, beloved. Let me say this. Unbelief limits. Now, I know you theologians out there, some of you are going to email me, Pastor Ray, did you actually mean that you said, you said, we limit God. Unbelief limits God's work in our lives. For example, when you read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, right? Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. It's all about the people of God failing to enter into the rest that God had provided for them. And he quotes from Psalm 95 and some of the other psalms that speak of the wilderness experience. They entered not in, the Bible says, because their heart was hard. Unbelief. Unbelief in the goodness of God, the power of God, the promises of God kept them out of the promised land. Remember Joshua and Caleb? They were told when they first got there, go out and inspect the land. God says, I'm going to give it to you. It's just an 11-day journey. They come back. They say to Moses, wow, that you should have seen that market. Oh, my God. The watermelons were this big. The gardoons are the garlic. Oh, let's go get it. The other 10 says, I don't think we can do it. And who did the crowd listen to? Joshua and Caleb? Oh, do you listen to the 10? No. What you're saying about the market is great, but Did you see those giants? Did you see how big those Anakim were? Did you see how big those dudes were? Compared to them? We're just little grasshoppers. We better not go. We better. And Joshua and Caleb, let's go get it. Right? Read Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. the Bible tells us that they entered not in because of unbelief. It wasn't the giants that kept them out of the promised land. It was unbelief in the promises of God. Joshua and Caleb said, "You see those big guys? We'll whip them." In fact, Joshua, when he was 85 years old, when they're giving the land away, Joshua comes back to Caleb. He goes, "Hey, Caleb." Or Caleb goes back to Joshua. He says, "Hey, Josh, remember? God gave us this land?" He goes, "Okay. I'm 85 years old, and I'm ready for it right now." And he said, "Hey, there's giants up there." He goes, "I don't care. Giants and all. I want what God has given to me. And no giant is going to keep me away." Unbelief. Read Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. They entered not in because of unbelief. They didn't enter into the rest of God because of unbelief. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 3 and 4, "Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart." And the Bible tells us that we need to, within the family of God, we need to be exhorting one another, lest at any time our hearts be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, that's why, beloved, that's one of the reasons why Satan does not want people getting together like we're getting together. Now, I get it all. The medical reason, I get it all. And I think we need to be wise and not have this Lambo cavalier attitude as if nothing is out there. People are dying because of this virus, but the enemy wants to keep us quarantined from one another because there is something that is needed, iron sharpening iron. The Bible says, "Let your heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." In Job chapter 9, verse 4, says, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength," and we'll end here. "Who has hardened himself against God and prospered?" You know anybody? Now, you may know someone that has compromised, and maybe they got a promotion, and they got all kinds of money, and they got the new gal, the new guy, the new this, the new that. But you know what they're paying for? They're paying for it with their soul. You don't harden your heart against God and prosper. You simply don't. This is one of those psalms. I mean, I'm as serious as I can be. There are warnings in here. There's a reason why psalms like this are in there, because I think you and I, as the children of God, I think we have loosely defined grace to mean anything goes. Because I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, now I can live however I want to live, and it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter. It does matter. Holiness and walking with God with a steadfast heart, it matters to Him. It really matters to Him, guys. And that's not a works trip. That's not a works trip at all. So I've got my own lessons to draw from here, and I trust that God will minister to you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is April 20th. Hope to see you there.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.